부터 내가 내 자비 부터 내가 내 자비 할렐루야 and the glory of heaven we are with if you put on the garment oh my brother if you put on the garment put on the garments of praise put on the garment hallelujah and the spirit of heaven shall fill away if you put on the put on the garments put on the garments of praise hallelujah if you put on the garments hallelujah and the spirit of heaven shall fill it if you put on the garments of praise hallelujah put on the garments of praise heaviness shall fade away if you put on the garments of peace hallelujah oh hallelujah oh Hosanna Hosanna oh Hosanna hallelujah oh oh hallelujah oh One more, while sister comes, the windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight in the evening light. There's joy, 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 joy in my heart, for Jesus made everything right. Amen. Whatever happened yesterday, as long as I have everything right this morning. While sister Julie comes, let's see that. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. Hallelujah. Since Jesus made everything right. Thank you, Lord. I gave him my altar garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. Thank you, Lord. And that's why I'm whole. The window, the window. The windows of heaven, the blessings are falling tonight. With joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes he makes everything right. I gave him my own tattered garment. He gave me a robe pure and whole. I'm feasting on the heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. That's why I'm happy. And that's why I'm happy tonight.
God bless you, saints. I want to give a testimony.
Amen.
To thank the Lord for what he did for me.
Amen.
Well, before I traveled to Zimbabwe, I had applied for nursing and I We got a place for children's and general nursing. So when I got the place, I realized that when I applied for the place, I thought I was going to pay 3,500 the EU fees. But when I got the place, I realized I have to pay the full amount because I already have a level 8. So the government won't pay for me the other 3,000. I have to pay the full amount myself. And I was thinking, should I leave it? And then I thought, because when we went for the exams to get the place, there were many people. Then I realized with all the people that were there for that course for mature people, they give only 6 people. And I realized there were many people, but the Lord gave me to be one of the 6 people to get that place.
Amen.
So I prayed about it, and somehow I didn't have that burden anymore, and I went to Zimbabwe. I think the first Sunday of August, there was a visiting minister from Mashingo. He was organizing the Mashaba Convention. So when he was preaching, he said, if you have something that you need from the Lord, you don't have to say it to me, just write it down. So no matter how many things you want, just write them down.
Amen.
The Lord will answer your prayers. So I wrote, the first thing was about the fees. The second thing was about, because for me to go to college, I have 2 children, I needed someone to look after them. So I wrote the second thing, I wanted a Christian person to look after my children. And then the third thing, because we are working, me and brother, I work part-time, brother is full-time, we don't qualify for medical cards. But since I will be going to college and there will be fees and transport, I realized it will be hard for us. And we had applied for medical cards and they send us forms to send to the GP to write down how many times we go to the GP, because somebody had told me that they can give you, because you're asthmatic, you can get a medical card. So I wrote it down as the third thing. And then the fourth thing, I remembered somebody in this church, I won't mention their name. And the third thing, the last thing as well, I won't mention it. So, and then when he was preaching, he said, we believe in the message of the hour to cater for all in need. So don't be shy. Write down whatever you need. So when I came back home, the first week, the Lord provided for my fees. We paid it.
Amen.
And then last Saturday, Sister Vietka came. The Lord gave us, she will be with us with the children. And then on Thursday last week, the woman from the medical cards rang Brother Womo, and he said, you don't qualify for medical cards, because of your wife's condition, we'll give you GP cards. But on Friday, when I went home late because we had to come to church, and then when I went home, I realized there's a letter, and they gave me a medical card. So it means for brother and the children, they are the ones who get the GP card. So I'm...
Hallelujah.
I believe you answer the other 2 things.
Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord said, ask in abundance that your joys may be fulfilled. Amen. What hasn't God given us? Many things. Let's sing a song while we change the order of worship. Our time is almost gone. Let's sing that song, I've Been Delivered. Amen. How many believe they've been delivered this morning? Amen. Don't just say amen.
Amen.
Mean it from your heart.
Amen.
I've been delivered, praise the Lord. I've been delivered, I say, oh, where the bonds of sin are broken. I've been delivered, yeah. I've been delivered.
all in my life, put me down. Oh, give me all in my life. I pray, give me all in my life, put me down. Oh, keep me burning till my prayer. Oh, let's sing Hosanna. Say, oh, Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna to my King, sing oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Oh, my, Jesus is mine. My, Jesus is mine. Jesus is my Savior, day by day. My, Jesus. Is my, Jesus is my, Jesus is, oh, Jesus is my Savior, day by day, my, Jesus, oh, he's everything to me, he's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. Oh, he's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything, everything, everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. On that day, he'll say you all meant it. Amen. Like the prophet says, have no fear. You will be there. Amen. Amen. Let's get into worship. Take me past the outer courts. How many want to go in? To that holy place. Past the praising altar. Lord, I want to see only your face. Pass me by the crowds of people. Stop to righteousness, but it's only found in your presence. Please take me to the home. Oh, take me, Jesus. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take the cold now, Lord. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Well, let's enter in this morning. We enter in into the temple. Oh, to that holy temple. Give thanks to the ancient of days. To honor. His mercies unto us. Give thanks to the ancient of days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout all ye people, shout all you people. How excellent is thy name. Praise his name. Oh, his mercies unto us, Jesus. Give thanks to the ancient of days. We give you thanks. Give thanks to the ancient. For the extension on this place, Lord. Give thanks to the ancient. For answering Sister Julie's prayers. Give thanks to the ancient. For making me one of them, Lord. Give thanks to the ancient. Oh, take me, Lord. Take
to the holiest of holies. Take me, Jesus. Take me by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, take me to the holiest of holies. Oh, take the cup against my lips. Here I am. Take the cup tonight. Take the cup, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the cup, Lord. Take the cup, cleanse my lips. Here I am. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. Oh Lord, you are worthy this morning. You are Alpha, you are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We give you glory, we give you
saints. In Jesus' name, Brother David's asking for prayer for Richard Sutton's son. He's 4 years old. He's had a double valve replacement and he's fighting for his life. So we really want to pray for that. Brother David's unwell himself today, so let's remember him in prayer. Brother Ellie's traveled to Belgium. Let's put him before the Lord. Sister Rudo's at work. Then Brother Alex and Sister Olga have gone to finalize their marriage papers in back home in Poland, and Brother Greg's gone there for the ceremony and so forth. So they were asking for prayer as well. So let's bring these things before the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are Alpha and that you are Omega, Lord. You are the beginning and you are the end. Oh, Father, you never change. And Father, what a solid rock we can stand upon today. Father, when everything else would be shifting sands, Father, how we can come unto thee, knowing that you are the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Father, that when Hannah sought you that day, you are the same God. Oh, Father, you are the same one. And as we approach thee, Lord, Father, we think even of our sisters in the Bible, Lord, who approached thee when Lazarus was dead. And they said unto thee, even now, Lord. Father, even now, we bring this young boy before thee, Lord. Father, even now, Father, your power is more than able. And Father, you are more than willing to raise him up. So Father, we pray for him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, we rebuke the spirit of death in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you administer your grace, Father, to our saints that have traveled. Brother Eli, bless him. May he be a blessing. May you keep him. May you watch over him, Lord, we pray. Father, our brother, Lord, who's gone, and the sister to finalize their marriage papers, Lord, bless them. And brother Greg, who's gone as well, Lord, be with them. May they be a witness. May they be a light. May they be a testimony in the midst of the darkness in that place, Lord, we pray. Our sister at work, Lord, you do pray for her as well. May you watch over her. And our brother David is not well. Father, in your name we send forth the word of healing, Lord. Father, you sent this message, Lord, with healing in its wings, Lord. And Father, rise up above our brother even now, Lord. Overshadow him, Lord, and speak peace to his soul. Father, Lord, may he rest in thee. Let the healing virtue be his portion, we pray. And every other petition of your people, every other request, we bring it up unto thee upon this evening. Bless your people. Be glorified upon this day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Saints, we do greet you again in Jesus' name. Really glad to have our sister Christina with us, the one who was playing the violin. Many saints may recognize her. Both times when we went to Israel, we were together with her and her family. Sister Christina is the daughter of Brother Alex, the interpreter when we went. Good friend, precious friend, and his family. So she's with us for a week. Then she's studying in Germany, so she'll be going back to Russia, then back to Germany as well. And when she was playing in the morning, I thought, some of our youth have got hidden talents and they don't want to come and display them. You know, it's good for them to unbury them now, dig them up, now use the things for the glory of God. It is a real blessing. Let's open Psalm 127. Psalm 127. We'll just continue on from where we were on Friday. On Friday, we started looking at the Masterpiece family. Amen. And we've started looking at the Ephesians 5 man. So we want to continue with the Ephesians 5 man a bit, but trying to get to the Ephesians 5 woman, because like Brother Wilmore said, we gave a lot of ammunition to the sisters on Friday nights. We need to balance it up on the other side. Psalm 127, let's just read verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Oh, friends, God wants to build your house. He's the one who built the original house back there in Eden. He wants to build your house, but you've got to allow him to build the house. Let's also read Matthew 12 again, to verse 25. We read it on Friday, what Jesus said when the Pharisees accused him of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. It says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Amen. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Oh, friends, you don't want to allow desolation in this kind of an age. When this world is full of desolation, you don't want your house to be divided against itself. Because that brings desolation. That allows the desolator himself to come in and bring desolation. You don't want that. Let's finish with Ephesians 5. We'll just read a few verses here from 22 to 25. These are the verses which we're focusing on. This is the Masterpiece family being established again through the master builder Paul. That image that was on Eden that had been lost, it could never come back. Amen. Until Christ died. Amen. And then when the veil was rent, when the Holy Ghost went forth, the new birth was given, there was now material, which had never been there since Eden, for the Masterpiece family to be established again. And that's why in all the Old Testament, you can't find the real Masterpiece family. There's a lot of good people, a lot of good things, but from Eden, there was never the fullness of what God really wanted. But under this dispensation of grace, there's available to us all that we need, the resources, if we'll use them for this. Verse 22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Let's skip to 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. So we're looking at this. We'll just go a little bit backtrack from Friday just to get a bit of a thought here. And we're speaking about the Masterpiece family. And the Masterpiece family, to have a Masterpiece family, both the husband and the wife need to be in the spirit of Ephesians 5. Amen. You can never have a masterpiece family if only the husband is an Ephesians husband and the wife is not an Ephesians wife. It's never going to work. You can never have a masterpiece family if the wife is in the spirit of Ephesians 5 and the husband isn't. You know, it's not going to be an easy thing. Because in the beginning, it was both Adam and Eve were in the spirit. In order to make that masterpiece family before the fall. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the image of God that was in Adam in the beginning was both male and female. So there was the image of God. So the image of God is not just a man. The image of God is male and female. So like we said on Friday, for a family, for children to grow up in a God-given environment, for a balanced child to grow up, it needs both mother and father. Because the image of God is male and female. Because God made Adam in the image of God, he made him male and female. So that was the image of God. And then God now took the feminine part of that spirit and he took a rib from Adam, placed it inside of that rib, made a body called Eve, and took the feminine part of his image from Adam and put that feminine part in another body that was taken from Adam. So straight away we can see that the masterpiece family, Adam and Eve, there's nothing in all creation that has the capacity for the kind of oneness that is between a man and a woman. A predestinated man and a predestinated woman, there's nothing in all the rest of this physical creation that can be one the way a man and a woman can. Because man and woman came from the very same place. Amen. You know, I'll show you here when the prophet says it just in a minute. And when the Lord now separated man, you know, right in the beginning, man was the climax of his creation. God built everything up, starting off and bringing it all the way up until he made the mammals and so forth. Then he made man. And man was the pinnacle of his creation. But God didn't yet say that it was good. God didn't yet go and rest when as yet Eve was still in Adam. God couldn't yet rest because it wasn't good for man to be on his own. God could see there was still something lacking. So only when God made Eve and took the feminine part and put it in Eve and presented Eve to Adam, God now said, this is what I was looking for. This is the image that I had in my mind. This is the masterpiece family, the prophet says. Then the moment that God saw that image of a man and a woman in a oneness like that, a man and a woman predestined to be together, that woman being part of that man, the Bible says God rested. Now we don't know how long he rested, but he rested, the seventh day began. I don't know how many years could have been, I don't know, who knows how long it was that there was rest until Satan found a way to get in to mar that masterpiece family, to bring about a fall in Eden. So we don't know how long that it took, but Satan's attack, right from the beginning, when Satan wanted to establish his kingdom, he didn't want the kingdom of Michael, so he was cast out of heaven. That became a human battle. So when Satan now wanted to establish his kingdom on earth, what did he do? What was the thing that stood between him and the establishment of his kingdom? It was the masterpiece family. As long as there was that family in the image of God, Satan couldn't establish his kingdom. He couldn't. It was that family unit. Adam and Eve, as the masterpiece family, Satan knew. And that's why the focus of his attack was against the family. That's what he attacked. He never came and attacked anything else. He knew in order to establish something in my own image, I need to break down this divine image. Amen. And friends, now we're in Satan's Eden, and it's exactly the same thing. Amen. Satan knows he cannot establish the kingdom of the beast. He cannot establish Sodom and all these things as long as the family is still standing. That's why his attack, Hollywood, and all these things we've seen in these weeks gone by, has been an attack on the family. Because we're in Satan's Eden. Satan hasn't changed. Amen. It's the same attack. You know, I've got it from a book here. I found a man was speaking about this. Just one paragraph I searched on the internet, and he said it so well. I copied it here. He says, it has become quite customary these days, even among Christians, to place the family in the wrong order. Our society thinks the individual and his or her success, such as a career, should come first. Then the family. But those who understand spiritual warfare for the hearts and minds of men Those who hate Christianity with a passion make it clear that the family is the enemy. Amen. Satan knows what the enemy is. Amen. He knows the word and the family. If a church has the word and if the family is all one, Satan has very little opportunity to work there. Amen. But when a kingdom is divided against itself, mm-hmm. what's he going to do? He's going to bring desolation. Amen. And the first victim is always the children. Amen. Before there's divorce between parents, you'll find the children are the first victims when the oneness is broken in the home. Amen. When there's not the masterpiece family, you find in this age that we're living in, you always see it first in the children. The children are the first victims of these kind of warfares when they take place. And then he quotes what I said on Friday. He says, Aleister Crowley, that Satanist who heard from Lucifer, and Lucifer told him 100 years ago that in order to establish the new world order, in order to establish the kingdom of the beast, the system of the beast, what they had to break down was the biblical moral values in society. They've got to get people away from the word. And Aleister Crowley said that, he declared the family was at the top of his list of public enemies. Aleister Crowley says the family is public enemy number one in his Book of Magic. That's what it's called. And those people, the prophet says many times the demonic realm knows things more than Christians. Amen. They recognized Jesus before the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. Amen. Thou Son of God, and so forth. So many times these demonic people, they sense certain things. And there's a lot of truth in what he said. Because in order for, he says it here, he says, why? The answer is simple. The first institution God created was the family. And it must be destroyed before the new world order can come to power. Why? Because the way of the beast has to be prepared. Just as much as God has to send something, has to send Elijah, has to send an anointing, has to send a message to prepare people for the coming of the Lord, there's got to be a preparation for the coming of the beast. There's got to be an atmosphere for the beast to step into. He couldn't come when the families were standing and when the Western civilization still had a respect for the Bible and the Bible was in the schools and, you know, children were taught scriptural things. Satan knew that the beast couldn't come. He has to prepare the way. And to prepare the way, he's got to destroy the family. He's got to destroy morality. He's got to take the Bible out of the schools in America, which happened in the 1960s. He's got to bring Hollywood and the invasion of the United States, like the prophet says, to wage warfare against the morals of the woman, the morals of the man. And like we said on Friday, the image that Hollywood gives of a family is a totally perverted image. Amen. The man is always the fool. In Hollywood, the man is always the fool. And the rest of the family, the children, the mother, all is laughing at the father. And the one who fixes all the problems is the mother. That's an antichrist spirit. That's nonsense. That's the image that Satan has of a family. A perverted family. But God in Ephesians 5 shows us his image of a family. And this image is as solid as a rock. If you and I take Ephesians 5, the masterpiece family, seriously, the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen. They will not. This is God's defense against all that Satan is doing. Amen. Everything that he's spewing forth through the music industry, the entertainment industry, all this immorality. Look at what the family has become. Look at the referendum that we just had about the family. Amen. People have got away from the image of the family. And that image of the masterpiece family was the original institution. And when God established it, he rested. He said, this is good, and he went and he rested. And Satan now, to bring about Babel and Nimrod and Mystery Babylon and all that, he knew, I've got to wage warfare against the family. And where did he start? Against the woman. And where is he overcoming this age? It's the woman. How did Kennedy get elected? The vote of the woman. The prophet says it. He says women lost their place when they were given the vote. Amen. Friends, it's not popular to say those kind of things Amen. Today. But it doesn't matter what society thinks. Amen. What God thinks is more important. Amen. Because God's image stands. Look at what society is reaping. The prophet says they're sowing to the wind. They're reaping a whirlwind. It's a perversion out there, friends. It's a confusion. But God has given us a message, which is a restoration. Amen. It's a restoration to bring things back once again. And friends, as part of this restoration, this Ephesians, the prophet says, it has to be restored again in the last days. We find Ephesians 5. The family, the godly family, God's image of the family. So, Satan's at work, is in Satan's Eden. We know that. We see the same tactics used then as the same tactics that he's using now. The same warfare that he's going to wage this thing now. And friends, it's fine when it's out there, but we don't want to see it coming in here. Amen. When you hear Satan speaking about divorce, friends, that word should never be uttered by the mouth of a son or daughter of God. You've totally admitted defeat to the devil when you do that. Amen. Divorce is not an option to the sons and daughters of God. If anyone even thinks about divorce, you know where the problem's coming in. They've never got in the spirit of Ephesians 5. Because Ephesians 5 shows us the cause and it shows us the cure. When one or either of these people, the husband or the wife, fail to fulfill what Ephesians 5 speaks of in the spirit of Ephesians 5, that's when we have all these problems. So the solution is, let's get ourselves in Ephesians 5. Let's get in the spirit of Ephesians 5 as a husband and a wife and see, why did God institute this in Eden? And why did Paul come back as the master builder to once again labor and strive to build this image back again? Because this is God's defense, friends. This is the best thing you can do for your children. You be an Ephesians 5 wife. You be an Ephesians 5 husband. It's the greatest thing you can do for your children. It's the greatest thing. Because you're giving them such an advantage in this day. Because this is God's vision that he had for the family. Now, listen what the prophet says in, if you can put the slides there, please, sister. The masterpiece family. God enriching his mercy. The prophet says, I was speaking last Sunday on the Ephesians. How the book of Joshua was the Ephesians of the Old Testament. How it is a book of redemption. So the book of Joshua was the children of Israel possessing the inheritance. And the book of Ephesians is us possessing our inheritance. So the masterpiece family is our inheritance, friends. Amen. That's our inheritance, but you don't get your inheritance easily. Amen. You've got to fight every step of the way. Because the devil's going to stand in the way. Sometimes the devil's been there before. He's entrenched himself in the family. He's done this, he's done that. Sometimes we've allowed him to come in. Let me just say one thing today. It's time to wage warfare again. It's time to wage warfare in the family. To say it's our right and our heritage as the sons and daughters of God to have a oneness in the home. To have a masterpiece family. Is it going to come overnight? It's not going to come overnight. But we've got to work at it the way the children of Israel worked at possessing their inheritance. And friends, under the Joshua Commission, we have all the resources that we need. Amen. We have the message of Elijah, which is the message of restoration. Amen. Friends, we need to use the resources that have been given to us. Because the word is no good if it's not made flesh. We can have all the word inside of here, all the word and the message, but until you and I get in the spirit of that word, and that word starts manifesting itself, it's never going to destroy the kingdom of the enemy. It's never going to do any good. The word has to become flesh. And that means we have to commune with that word. We have to fellowship with that word. We need to lay in the presence of the Son. We need to see the vision and the image behind Ephesians 5 that God had in his mind. What did God have in his mind? God wasn't just trying to say to a woman, you become a slave to a man. We saw it on Friday. That's the opposite of what God's saying in Ephesians 5. That's what society would try to say. That's what paganism teaches people. But Christianity puts a man in a noble place and he puts a woman in a noble place. But there's a big distinguishing difference between them. There's no such thing as unisex in the kingdom of God. Unisex is a perversion. God made a man and he made a woman. There's no unisex. Amen. There's nothing like that. Mm-hmm. That's Satan and his Eden that he's established through Hollywood, his great instrument of deception. Then he's waged warfare and a man's becoming more like a woman, the prophet says, because there's a gross darkness upon the people. Amen. And he says, and women are becoming more masculine because of this great darkness that has been released in our age, preparing the way for the beast, preparing the way for the new world order. The old world order has to be done away with. It will be done away with, but not in the bride. Because the bride is a word bride. She's a word bride from the beginning, and she's a word bride to the end. And she wants to apply this word in every aspect of her life. So the prophet says, now then, we find out that we have come to another Ephesians under the Joshua Commission. Another Ephesus now. He says, where in our intellectual denominations and so forth, all of our education programs have come to its Jordan. So for us, friends, let's be honest. Where as husbands we're failing as husbands today, let's come to the Jordan. Where as wives we've been failing as wives. We've been trying our intellectual ways of running our families. We've been trying our old customary ways, our own cultural ways. Let's do away with those things. If it's not working, do away with it. And let's come to Jordan and let's have an Ephesians. Let's follow the Joshua Commission. Because that's what's been given to us. The prophet says we've come to another Ephesians. He says then we must have an Ephesians again. So how are we supposed to have this Ephesians again? Ephesians 4 is God's grace to keep his church. Ephesians 4, the gifts of the Spirit. If the church is in the spirit of Ephesians 4, it cannot be overcome. It cannot be overcome. If the church takes the fivefold ministry and the ministration of the body to itself, and all the things we see in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4 is Ephesians to the church. Ephesians 5 is Ephesians to the family. That if the family will get in the spirit of Ephesians 5, the gates of hell will not stand. Amen. Ephesians 6 is Ephesians to the individual, the whole armor of God. Amen. That if you get in the spirit of Ephesians 6, you put on the whole armor of God, the devil's never going to overcome you as an individual. So these chapters, this Ephesians, this book of Joshua, is God's defense. But we've got to get in the spirit of it. As we saw it on Friday, you cannot have an Ephesians 5 family if both the husband and the wife are not in the spirit of Ephesians 5. Both. God has to be working on both sides to establish an Ephesians 5 family. Anything else is going to fall short. It's not the original image. It's not the house that God built. Friends, and if God hasn't built it, let's lay it aside and let's go back to the master builder and say, Lord, even if I have to humble myself now, admit that I got it all wrong, let me start building properly now. Because sometimes God has to break down before he builds up. Sometimes he has to uproot the old so that he can plant the new. And friends, sometimes we need to put up the white flag and say, I failed. It's not going the way that it should. And humbly go back to the Lord and say, surely Lord, I've been trying to do you a service without it being your will. Surely you have a provided way. And that's why the prophet says, this is the Ephesians to us. And God has given us in Ephesians for all the divine resources needed to overcome as a church. There's gifts in the body. And as long as those gifts are quickened by the Spirit, as long as those gifts are used in the order that God has established, friends, the devil will shake. The devil will huff and puff, but he won't blow that house down. And the same in Ephesians 5. If we get in the Spirit all the resources we need, friends, we're predestined unto these things. Adam and Eve were predestined to be one with one another. And if that's a genuine wife given you of God, it's already in you. It's already in the gene seed in you and in the gene seed in her. That if that seed can be quickened in you and that seed can be quickened in her, you're back to Eden once again. Amen. Because when God predestinates a man, he predestinates a woman for that man. Amen. That's how we said on Friday, this one of just going and marrying anybody. That's not Ephesians 5. Amen. That's the worst thing a person can do. Just because you see some guy who's got a, you know, some flashy car, or a guy's got a good job, or a guy who's got Tom Cruise looks and all that. It's never the standard for a daughter of God. A daughter of God, she wants to find her Ephesians 5 man. That's the most important thing to her. Because God has only predestinated one man that you can unite with in a true oneness. And to a man, God has only predestinated one woman for you to unite with. Because God doesn't change his mind about his word. His original thoughts he has for you never changes. And when God thought of you, he thought of your wife. When God thought of you, he thought about your husband. And that's the mystery. And if you're just walking in the Spirit, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. God will lead you to that person. And my sheep know my voice. There'll be something inside of you that recognizes something in her, something inside of her that recognizes something in you, though it's only potential at that time, which hasn't yet been fully expressed. That's why you can see marrying unbelievers is not an option to any son or daughter of God. Amen. It's totally outside of the Ephesians 5 family. God never thought of that. God never. We make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. Like we said on Friday, God can redeem things in many, many ways. But for someone to choose now to go and marry an unbeliever, yes, you're asking for trouble, my friend. Because if you marry the wrong person, is it possible for that to really become an Ephesians 5 family? There's predestination involved, your friends. Eve was part of Adam. It's a serious thought. I'm just so glad God helped me in marriage. I'm so glad, friends. I'm so glad there was such temptation. There were so many options, so many people trying to tell you to make shortcuts and that when things linger, things take long. The Bible says, though the vision tarry, wait for it. It shall speak the vision in the end. Wait for the vision to be fulfilled. Never rush ahead of God on these things. Because some things, once you do them, they can't be undone very easily. Because these things are until death us do part. And God holds us to his word. So God has given us the resources that we need. So in Genesis 2, verse 21, it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So we saw it on Friday. None of the rest of creation was created like this. When God made the lions, he spoke a female and he spoke a male. They were two distinct beings, two distinct characters. So therefore, nature can never have the same oneness as the family that God has instituted. Because when God made the masterpiece family, he started off with one being, Adam. And then he took a part of Adam's body and made another body. Then he took part of Adam's spirit and put that spirit in that body and presented that back to Adam. Amen. And says, there shall be one flesh. And Jesus said the same. Thus shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, they shall be one flesh. So the potential for oneness, if you and your wife are predestinated, is limitless, friends. It's limitless. But it's not just going to take care of itself. Oneness doesn't just happen. You don't just possess your inheritance by default. You've got to follow certain spiritual principles. You've got to work at it. There's got to be certain obstacles that you overcome. There's got to be a process that we go through to bring about this oneness. But friends, it's vital we get this oneness. Because we don't have this oneness, the enemy comes in under the wall. And he wreaks havoc among the children and so forth. That's not God's desire. It's not God's will. That's how the prophet says in Testimony on the Sea. He says, sorry, if you can go to the, there we are. In fact, we'll take this one. Seed is not there with the shuck. For when God separated Adam, he was both. So he was both. He never taken and made another being. But he took part of Adam, the original creation, took from him a rib from his side, took the feminine spirit out of Adam, left the masculine spirit in there and placed it in the feminine part. Amen. So friends, this outward man is fallen. This outward man will never fully be one with anything. This is your old husband. This is your old Nabal. If you inside is an Abigail. You'd always have a hard time with the foolishness of this outward man. But the soul of a man and the soul of a woman that are predestinated together, it's limitless the oneness that you have the potential to achieve. If you desire that oneness. But there's a lot of obstacles. The outward man, the human nature, and all these kind of things you're going to have to work through to bring souls into this kind of a oneness. This is how the prophet expressed it in Stature of a Perfect Man. He's speaking about the stature of a perfect man, that image being restored once again. The prophet said, excuse this expression. I told my wife here not long ago, both are getting old. I said, do you love me like you used to? She said, I certainly do. And I said, you know, I love you so much till I would like to take you and pull you inside of me so we could really be one. Amen. That's not just a statement. Amen. That's what it was in the beginning. Amen. The one Eve was inside of Adam. And when Adam now, when Eve was presented back, I mean, Adam before the fall, I'm sure he said, Eve, I love you so much. I just wish I could take and put you inside of myself so we could be perfectly one. Now, the prophet was an adopted son. The prophet was the first one in this age who displayed the full image of the stature of a perfect man of Christ. And he had such a oneness with his wife. Doesn't mean they didn't have problems. But we'll see it when you get onto the Ephesians 5 woman. Sister Meda was an Ephesians 5 woman. She stood between her husband and the public. She went white hair in her 30s because of the pressure of supporting her husband's ministry. Supporting the call. It wasn't easy. People camping outside in the garden all the time. Wanting to be prayed for. The prophet says, I've spent so many years never been able to eat a single meal at home with the blinds up. The blinds always have to be down because there are always people outside. Amen. The prophet says sometimes 40 calls an hour. Mm. Hey, now if God hadn't predestined a woman for that man, she wasn't going to be able to do it. Amen. She wasn't going to be able to do it. But like the Lord says, it's not good for the man to be on his own. I will provide a help meet for him. Amen. And that's what the Ephesians 5 woman Eve was. Now, she was there. She wasn't to take leadership. She wasn't the one to be the boss. She wasn't made to be that. She was made to be someone who would support and complement what God had called Adam to do and to be. And she had her unique things that Adam couldn't do. But it was all under the umbrella of what God had called Adam to do. So the wife is going to find her position. She's going to find her identity under what her husband has been called to do. The prophet says, and God calls a man, he calls his wife also. Amen. Now sometimes, I know it's hard for sisters sometimes. I know even at our home, it's not easy sometimes. The pressures that come because of ministry and stuff. And deacons know it as well. And deacons' wives, they know it. But you know what a wife is called to do? The prophet says, because the church to Christ is the same as the wife to the husband. And what does the prophet says? All the church needs to do is to yield to the anointing. That's it. Just yield. Don't resist. Don't fight. Don't kick. But God, if he's called you as a wife, the potential's in you. If you'll just yield yourself to it. But sometimes it's that yielding. Sometimes we want to resist. Even as men, we want to resist as well. But it's yielding ourselves, the prophet said. The prophet says that. He says he placed the feminine part. So, if this is the way that it is this, if God established this masterpiece family right back there in Eden, how did it start? It started in his presence. Amen. Adam and Eve were both, we saw it on Friday, in harmony with God. Both of them, God could speak lip to ear with them. Amen. It wasn't that Eve was just leaving all the spiritual side to Adam. Friends, you can't have a masterpiece family if the wife has no spirituality. Amen. Eve was a spiritual woman as well. The prophet says God would come down in the coolness of the evening and speak lip to ear with both of them. He says both of them had a harmony with God. And because they had a harmony with God, they had a harmony with one another. And the moment that harmony with God was broken, the harmony with one another was broken. And Paul is coming in Ephesians 5 now to preach the spoken word, to try to reestablish that harmony that was there in the beginning once again, to build up that which had been broken down from Eden. That's what he's trying to do in Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, now have a look at the basis of submission. When the Bible says it in verse 22, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Yeah? In 23, it says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Amen. So for the husband to be worthy of submission, we saw on Friday, Amen. The husband must be like Christ. Amen. If a husband is a bull, if a husband is a bully, if a husband beats his wife, he's not worthy of submission. Because he's not doing it as Christ. He's not an Ephesians 5 husband. It's going to need grace in the wife. Unmerited favor. Favor, because she wants to be an Ephesians wife regardless of what her husband's going to do. And I want to be an Ephesians 5 husband no matter what anybody else does in my life. Amen. I don't want my spirituality to be tied to anybody else. Amen. If everybody else backslides, you should desire to be what God wants you to be. Amen. And a wife, even if your husband is so hard and out of the spirit, it doesn't give you any excuse to be less spiritual. Amen. It's actually a call to be more spiritual. Amen. You need to raise the standard up. Amen. Like when that man walked in and with his friends acting all drunk because of the testimony. That was an Ephesians 5 woman. Her spirituality wasn't based on the spirituality of her husband. She was a spiritual woman herself. She had a walk with God herself, but she was submissive even to her unbelieving husband. And when they were sitting there in the bar and those men were saying, ah, this whole Christianity thing's a fake. There's no such thing. The husband said, there is. My wife. She's the real deal. And the prophet says, the world is dying to see something genuine. And friends, when your wife cannot submit to you, she's waiting to see something genuine. And once we manifest at least a genuine image of Christ, yes, in this body it's not going to be easy. It's going to be an obscured image many times. But even a partial image of Christ in us, it's in your wife to naturally submit to that. Because God predestinated her. She's a daughter of Abraham. And that man said, come home. And he went home. And they got there and they acted all drunk. Go and cook us some eggs and whatever. And then the woman went, cooked eggs, brought them to the husband. The husband took them, threw them on the floor. It says, I don't eat eggs like that. Go and cook me some more. Now, obviously, she had maybe a temperament different than some of our sisters. Because it does go down to a temperament as well. But that woman went and picked up those eggs and said, sorry, honey, and went in the kitchen was singing, must Jesus bear the cross alone. That's an Ephesians 5 woman. She knows, I'm doing this as if unto the Lord. I'll show you a quote now what the prophet says about that. And when she reflected a genuine Ephesians 5 wife in the midst of that atmosphere, it won the husband and his friends to Christ.
Amen.
It won them all. And that's why, friends, it has to be God working on both sides to bring about a masterpiece family. The wife, many wives, they don't pray. They just pray such short prayers. They have such problems in their home, but for them to really go and shut themselves in with God and tell their husband, I'm not coming out this evening. I need to speak to my real husband, Christ. There's no other way. This is your inheritance. You've got to wage warfare for your inheritance. If Satan has taken your children as a mother, you can't leave it to the father. You've got to take it upon yourself. You've got to get yourself in that closet. You've got to get the Bible. You've got to find the mind of God yourself. You've got to seek his leadership. You've got to put on the whole armor of God yourself. You can't leave it to anybody else. Because maybe your husband's not in the spirit of doing it at that time. Or you're going to let your family go to hell because your husband's out of the spirit. That's not what an Ephesians 5 woman does. An Ephesians 5 woman says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I need to raise up a standard to meet him. And God respects that. And that's where the shortcoming I see it many times in families. Now, sisters, it's hard when children come in that, but sisters, still, you have to spend time with God. You've got to spend time with him. You've got to spend time bathing in his presence. You've got to spend time feeding on the wisdom of his word. Amen. How are you ever going to know how to deal with the things with your children and the problems that are coming up and be a real Ephesians 5 wife? You can only do it in the spirit.
Amen.
All of these things, Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, they only work when they're done in the spirit.
Amen.
The whole armor of God, you don't have it if you're not in the spirit.
Amen.
It says praying in the spirit.
Amen.
It's the sword of the spirit.
Amen.
Each of those, it's a spiritual armor.
Amen.
So every single one of these things, yes, we all have complexity in life. We all have problems and pressures. But friends, our supreme goal as husbands and wives has got to put this first. That's what that man said so well. He says, even Christians today, the idea of the family is the individuals first. The career and extra money and all that. That's got to be put secondary to the needs of the family. That if your family is falling apart, the woman, if you don't have to work, don't work. A woman shouldn't add pressure into the home by going to work when she doesn't need to work. Why are you working? Why are you working? You say, I don't have enough time to pray. Stop working then. And do the real work that God predestined you to do, which is to fight for your family, which is to seek His face. Susanna Wesley was an Ephesians 5 wife. The prophet says, with all the pressure, 17 children, she still found how many hours a day to spend with God. And that's why she brought up a John and a Charles Wesley. God puts these as examples to us, friends. Now, sometimes you don't get a lot of amens from people when you say these things, but it's the truth. Because you want to wage warfare against this mindset that didn't come from God's word. This is Satan's Eden, and we've been conditioned by Satan's Eden. We can't follow Satan's Eden, friends. We'll reap the same harvest they're reaping. We'll call ourselves believers, and our children will go to hell. So I'd rather say, I'm not interested in Satan's Eden. Even if I have to have less money in the bank, even at the end of the month, if it gets tight, I'd rather seek a masterpiece family. Because that's the way you overcome in Satan's Eden. That's God's provision, friends. There's no other provision. Now there's times the husband needs his wife to work. Sister Hope worked in the shirt factory. We know that. When Brother Bam couldn't pay off his bills. Remember that time when things were hard. But it was for a season and for a purpose. It wasn't for her to establish a career. Your career is your husband's calling. That's your career. Is to support your husband in his calling. And to preach to your children and to raise your children in the fear and admonition of God. And if you need to work for a season, if social welfare makes you go to college for a season, that's fine. You have to do it. You have to give to Caesar. But you should never choose that as a woman. That should never be because of the pressure of other people. Because other people are doing it doesn't make it right, friends. Amen. It doesn't make it right. Amen. Go and find in the message where the prophet says a woman should do those things. It's not in the message. The prophet says, I don't want my wife being in those ungodly offices with those ungodly men, sharing those ungodly things that they speak. Amen. And the prophet did it. Sister Mita never worked a day. She never worked a day, friends. And that's why we're reaping a lot of problems now in our families. Because we're putting pressure on that God never put on us. Amen. We're taking burdens that God never ordained us to bear. And it's hard, friends. Amen. On the children. It's hard on you. It's hard on your husband. It shouldn't be. God has an image for a family. And it never changed from Eden. Amen. The man was the provider. The man was the protector. The woman was to support. The woman was to complement what the man was doing. The woman was to bring forth life into the world, to nurture that life. She was given the feminine spirit to do that. And that's got to be the main focus, friends. If you've got to do other things for a season, that's okay. You know, God understands. We all have times where we have deaths. We all have times maybe the husband gets sick. God understands those things. But friends, we're going too far now. Now the sisters are choosing things which you wonder, but why are we doing these things? It puts such pressure in the home. Then you wonder why we don't have an Ephesians family. Amen. And friends, us as a church, we're only as strong as the strength of our families. Amen. If there's no unity in the home, if you're fighting with your wife on the way to church, do you think we can be united here? We can't. If you and your wife don't agree with one another, what hope do we have of uniting ourselves together as an Ephesians 4 family when the Ephesians 5 families aren't united? How can we be an Ephesians 4 family? We can't be. And to be an Ephesians 5 family, each person has an Ephesians 6 calling. Amen. You need to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Every one of us needs the spiritual armor. It's not just for brothers. It's for sisters just as much as brothers. Amen. Now the Holy Ghost is going to manifest through a brother in a different way than through a sister. God anointed Eve and she brought forth feminine attributes. God anointed Adam, he brought forth the masculine attributes. Just like the gifts of the Spirit. If God anoints an evangelist, it's different than He anoints a teacher. Different than He anoints a prophet. It's the same Spirit, but it just manifests in different ways. Amen. And when a husband and a wife are both in the Spirit, there's going to be the full manifestation to the family. Amen. All those divine attributes, the image of God, the masculine and the feminine, are going to be ministered to the family now. The feminine attributes be ministered to the husband. The prophet says when the husband comes home tired from work, he says there's nothing like a wife. The consolation of a wife. When she's in the spirit of Ephesians 5. That she comes and she consoles and encourages the husband to continue, to push on when he's coming from battle. And there's nothing like a man, what he can do to minister to his wife. Amen. To encourage, to sustain, to strengthen, to inspire, to lead, to renew the vision. Amen. That's all the domain of the man. But you've got to be in the spirit. Amen. To manifest those things to your family. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Our warfare is not carnal warfare, but it's a spiritual warfare. So the husband has been called to lead. The call to headship is to the husband. And the wife has been called to submit. To complement the husband. To support the husband as he leads. Now it doesn't mean that the husband's a dictator. He makes all of the decisions himself. That's not how it works. Amen. He gets the input from his family. He weighs things up prayerfully. And then he makes the final decision. Sometimes it's different than what the wife wants. But as long as it's done in the spirit and God blesses it, she's going to respect that man. She's going to see that when my husband gets in that prayer closet and makes a decision, it always works out. And that's why she's going to willingly be able to submit herself more and more and more as she sees a spiritual consistency in the man. But like we said on Friday, when the man comes this month and he wants to go and live in England, and next month he doesn't want to be a believer anymore, and next month he wants to, you know, turn the world upside down to be an evangelist for the kingdom, next month he wants to be something else. Friends, it's confusing to everybody. How do you expect a wife to fully, a family to submit themselves under the message you believe? If you yourself are not portraying a true image of that message. Everybody understands we make mistakes. Everybody understands we're in the process of maturity. We're in the process of getting ourselves to the full oneness we want. That's what I said on Friday. That's what we want in our home. That's why you study these things. Say, Lord, it's good what we have, but there's more than this. Amen. No, the family can go far. There's an adopted family. We want to be an Ephesians 5 family. Amen. But we've got to follow it through. Amen. So God has to work on both sides. For a husband to be a true leader, he's got to be a spiritual leader. Yes. It's got to be spiritual leadership. Yes. That's what you're called to be, so you've got to be in the spirit to do it. It's got to be Christ-like leadership. Why do we submit ourselves to Jesus? Why? Why? Ask yourself that. Why do we in our souls so willingly submit ourselves to Jesus? Sometimes he says hard things to us. Sometimes he puts us in difficult situations. Sometimes we have to go through battles and valleys we would never have chosen ourselves, but he wants us to go through them. Why do we submit ourselves to him? Because in us we are predestined as the bride to submit to the image of the Word. He is the full image of the Word made flesh. My sheep hear my voice. And it's easy for us in our soul. Sometimes our flesh, the outward man, is not regenerate. He's not part of the masterpiece family. It's the soul. Your soul has the full potential to submit itself to the Word because God created you thus. If you'll just yield and get in the Spirit, you'll find you have the resources in you already. God put them in you from birth. Some sisters, they get scared to say, hey, I don't think I can submit myself to my husband. If that's really your husband, God put everything required in the seed. Everything that's ever going to be manifest in the apple tree, it's potentially in the seed when you plant it. And when God put that seed in you as a daughter of Abraham, and then God brings you and predestines you to marry a certain man, you have everything you need in the seed. Amen. If you can just get the quickening power on the seed, amen, just get in the spirit and let the quickening power manifest and let the attributes start to manifest themselves, you'll find that there's nothing impossible. God will never call us to something if we're not able to do. He'll never put on us more than we're able to bear. The key is just to get in the spirit of it, to move in that channel. So that's why Eve could submit herself to Adam. Amen. Now the scripture, when it speaks about wives being submissive to their husbands, it never speaks of a husband beating his wife. Amen. into submission. That's a shame and an abomination in the house of God. How can a man raise his fist against a woman? There's nothing more cowardly than that. How can a man beat his wife? How can you try to force your wife to listen to you? You're testifying that you are a failure as a husband. If you can't reflect an image that your wife respects and you have to force her to submit, you're testifying yourself, you're not in the image of an Ephesians 5 husband. You're not. You can't make your wife fear you so she submits. Does Jesus do that to us? Do you and I submit to Christ because we fear going to hell? If you do, you don't really know him. You've never been born again. We submit ourselves to him because we love him. Because of the image he reflects. Because of the quality of the spirit that he ministers to us. Because of how he speaks to us within the veil. Because of the perfection of his leadership. Because of the greatness of his provision in any situation we go through. Because he never fails. Because he's a solid rock. He's all that we need. Now the Bible says you must be that to your wife. Then she's going to submit. It's going to be far easier for your wife to submit to you when you're reflecting Christ to her than when you're reflecting your old culture. When you're reflecting your old first birth. As a daughter of Abraham, she'll try her best to submit because she knows the word enjoins her to do so. But it's not going to be easy. But like I said, it's going to be grace. It's going to be unmerited favor. She's going to be doing things that you don't deserve because you're not behaving in the way that's worthy of submission. And yet she submits herself. I don't think you want to run your home like that. Do you want to run your home like that? I don't want that. I don't want my wife to listen to me because I shout at her all the time. Or she knows that if she doesn't listen to me, I'm gonna cut her financial support. Friends, that's not an Ephesians 5 family. That's not the image God had in his mind. Do you think that's the way Adam led Eve? That wasn't the way. They were both dwelling in the glory of God. And Eve respected the image of Christ in the man. And she knew whenever Adam does something, when he's in that spirit, it always works. Every animal he named, that was the correct name. That was the right name. And as time went by, she started more and more to realize, but when this man gets in the spirit, I need to lay aside my own understanding because that's the right way to do things. And that's what you need as well. But friends, when you're trying to learn from our neighbors how we should resolve problems in marriage, we're trying to follow what Uncle so-and-so said or Auntie so-and-so said. That's not the resource an Ephesian husband uses. God has given us his resource. God has given us the message of the hour. God has given us his anointing, his unction, his revelation, the unveiled mystery of his word. God has revealed to us the mind of Christ. That's the resources you need as a husband to lead your family. Amen. Friends, those are the real resources. Because it's a spiritual leadership that your wife is looking for. Being reflected in the natural leadership as well, in the natural things of life. And that's why the real man, he draws forth submission from his wife. He doesn't demand submission from his wife. The way he conducts himself, the way if he makes a mistake, he says sorry. If he makes a wrong decision, he'll sit down and say, that was a wrong decision. And let's pray more about it next time. And what's it going to do? You're going to draw forth because she's a daughter of Abraham. She has a spiritual something inside of there that was predestinated to follow you in your leadership. And as you're reflecting that, it's easy for her to move into that channel as well and to submit herself. That's why I say it's got to be God working on both sides. If your wife isn't respecting you today, you need to ask yourself the question, why? Why? Why is your wife not respecting you? Not to say that every time it's the husband's fault. It's not. Sometimes the woman is demon-possessed. Maybe you married Lot's wife. Maybe it's Job's wife who's telling you, curse God and die in the midst of your trouble. It can be. Sometimes the prophet says sometimes we get the wrong partners in this life, but it'll be corrected in the world to come. But if you prayed about it, if you entered into marriage prayerfully and advisably, like the prophet said, if there was revelation in what you did, if there was divine leadership, if it wasn't just the lust of the eyes, But if you followed God to the best of your ability, and God led you to that man, you have every right to expect that is your predestinated husband and predestinated wife. And if that husband and wife was predestinated to you, and she can't submit herself to you, go and look in the mirror. Amen. Don't be blaming her all the time. Amen. Don't be trying to force the submission out of her. Go and ask yourself, is there something in the way I'm doing things which is not worthy of submission here? And when we're always losing our tempers to our wives, that's not worthy of submission.
Amen.
When you come home and the children are hiding themselves away, that's not a life that's worthy of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
It's not the way it should be. Friends, we all are going to make mistakes. You're going to catch me on a bad day. I'm going to catch you on a bad day. Your wife's going to have a bad day. All of us have it. Sister Meade is going to slam the door in Brother Branham's face. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have those situations sometimes. But it should be the exception, not the rule. It should be something when the prophet says, he says, in all these years of our marriage, we never had words.
Amen.
Until that day, he said. You're going to have times of pressure, times your wife's not well, times the husband's not well. We have to understand each other at those times. But friends, if your wife can consistently cannot submit herself to you, and she's a real daughter of God, you need to go and say, Lord, am I really in the image of an Ephesians 5 man? Am I really reflecting you? Because as Christ is to the church, that's what Paul is saying the husband needs to be to the wife. The woman at the well. She had had 5 husbands. She divorced all of them. She could never find a oneness with a man. She could never find compatibility with a man until she met the image of Christ made flesh in a man. Once she met the genuine thing, once that genuine image was reflected to her, she came straight into submission.
Amen.
Straight into submission. She couldn't submit to the other men. I'm sure some of them were good men. And she had her own problems, we know. But the moment she came and the word was made flesh, and she met the real husband, Christ himself in a body, she could now submit herself.
Amen.
And she was never the same. Do you think your wife won't do the same to you? If you'll shut yourself in like Nehemiah, if you'll shut yourself in and say, there's too many breaches in our family, there's too many breaches in the walls of Jerusalem, and you shut yourself in as a man, and you seek the face of God, and you confess your sins first, and the sins of your fathers first, and you face up to your personal responsibility first, then you come out of that closet clothed with the image of Christ, anointed with the sweetness of Christ, with the wisdom of Christ, and you sit down with your family now, there's going to be a difference.
Amen.
Because now there's an image that's worthy of submission being reflected. But friends, many of us are African men. An African man, I always remember the picture in the newspaper, the Herald, back home in Zimbabwe. There goes the man in front, he's carrying his stick, he's wearing his hat, he's got his suit on, and he's walking down the road, and behind him is his wife. And she's got a big, big pack on her head, a baby on her back, she's carrying 2 big bags like this. Friends, you don't want it to be like that. We're not Africans here, we're Christians. We're Africans outwardly, but inward, the seed in us has no color, it has no culture. We're Christians. We want to reflect Christ. The good things in our culture, that's fine, let's keep them. But those things in our culture that are against Ephesians 5, let's bury them. They're not worthy of emulation. No matter how long they go back in your family, if they're not scriptural, get rid of them from your life. Because God can never bless something that's not His image. That's not His word. He can never bless it. That's why that woman at the well could do it. Now the husband, when he's called to lead as Jesus led. That's what he's saying in Ephesians 5. So this leadership must be the way that Jesus led. Now what did Jesus say in Luke 22? I think I put the scripture here. He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Now the unbelievers, the leaders, they exercise lordship. They're not worthy of it most of the time. They don't have characters worthy of any submission, the vast majority of the leaders of this world. Is that not true? There's very few of them that are real, genuine people that really deserve that position and really deserve to be followed. There's very few of them. But they exercise lordship. They impose lordship. If you don't follow me, don't listen to what I say, you're in prison. Or we cut this off, or we cut that off. He says, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. You shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. Because that's what Jesus does. He's the servant leader we saw on Friday. He didn't come to be ministered to, he came to minister. You're not given your position as a husband so that you can get your family orders to minister to you. You're not leading them as Christ leads you. You were given those attributes to minister to your family, to help your family, to lead your family in spiritual leadership. That's what it is. Matthew 20. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Ah, friends, and when we see what Christ did for us, his family, it makes us want to submit ourselves even more. Because he went before. He took our shame upon himself. He bore our reproach. He stood for us in the city gates. He bore our shame on the cross. He bore our iniquities. He's so patient. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so long-suffering. That's why we submit ourselves to him. That's why, and no other reason. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. Friends, it may be hard what I'm saying today, but it's necessary today. Amen. Because the devil is trying his best in some of our families. Amen. And it's time now we expose the devil. Amen. And if we are playing into the hands of the devil, let's stop today. Amen. Because the devil is powerless until he finds a vessel to use. Amen. And if we as husbands are not Ephesians 5 husbands, let's admit it today. Amen. And if we as wives are not Ephesians 5 wives, let's repent before the Lord today. Amen. And let's ask the master builder himself, who established the first masterpiece, say, Lord, you are the potter. Amen. I am the clay. Amen. You've broken this down. Build it up again in your own image. Because that's what we need. We don't need to just put the sticking plaster. Sometimes the problems are too deep and too great. It doesn't need plastering the cracks. We need to break it down and come back to the foundation and say, let's build the family properly now. Let's build it on a scriptural basis. Let's model it on the real model, the masterpiece family. And that's what Paul now, when he was bringing Ephesians 5, he keeps pointing back to Eden, keeps pointing back to Eden. Because the spoken word in Paul, the Holy Ghost is going to use the spoken word to create the masterpiece image once again. That's what he wants. And we've just got to yield ourselves to that anointing. That's why Jesus said, now listen to this question, what the prophet said. It's not such a famous questions and answers. I didn't do the slide properly. Brother Branham, the Bible tells us a wife should obey her husband. I'm a Christian and my husband is a sinner. He persecutes me in every way that he can. And for me not to go to church and read my Bible and denies the word, what should I do? Hey. A man's not supposed to use that authority over a woman just because he's her ruler. Can you see? A man isn't supposed to use his authority just because he's the husband. No. God is her ruler above you, brother. Amen. So your authority over your wife only goes so far.
Amen.
Then it stops.
Amen.
And her submission to you only goes so far. Then it's not applicable anymore. Listen to what he says. You see, if your wife is doing something wrong, then you've got a right to tell her, and she's supposed to listen to you. But you haven't got no right to beat her or drag her around or do those things. No, sir. You see, God made man a helpmate, not a doormat.
Amen.
And listen to what he says. He continues. I didn't put the slide. What should you do? He says, listen. You're supposed to obey your husband. That's the word. Now, if he tells you and refuses you to read the Bible or to go to church or something like that, you don't have to obey that.
Amen.
Because he's supposed to be a husband under Christ.
Amen.
And if he now is not following Christ, you don't have to follow him.
Amen.
You don't have to follow him.
Amen.
You know, a real husband. You know what your dream would be? You would so desire your wife to get so close to Christ and to know him that even if you backslide from the message, she'll say, I'm not backsliding from this message.
Amen.
That's what you want. You don't want your wife to be so dependent on you spiritually and in her life that when you go into error, she follows you into error. I don't ever want my wife to follow me into error. If I backslide like many people are from this message, fighting against this message, I want you to say that's a step too far.
Amen.
As for me, I don't believe this message.
Amen.
That's what the prophet's saying. He says, your authority only goes so far.
Amen.
Your authority only goes so far. Look what he says on that previous one. He says, God is her ruler above you, brother.
Amen.
So the husband is supposed to be as Christ to his wife. He's not supposed to be Christ to his wife. Don't you never take the place of Christ in the life of your wife.
Amen.
That she has to rely on you for everything. We've seen pastors in the message do that. They make the people so dependent on them that the people don't know the leadership of the Holy Ghost themselves.
Amen.
That's Nicolaitanism, friends.
Amen.
That's not the genuine image.
Yes.
We're supposed to be leading you to Christ.
Amen.
To make you so dependent on Christ.
Amen.
That if next week you hear that I'm backslidden, you'll still be here. You'll still be, then I can see that we've done a good job. And that's got to be the same thing to a husband as well. The prophet actually says that. Listen what he says in the sixth seal. He asks Sister Mita her question. It's very good. Sister Mita is saying, look, you've been beyond the curtain of time. When you were there, you saw Sister Hope. She was jealous. Now, when we get there, me and her were your wives. How is it going to be there? And then the prophet says, look, it's a different kind of a system there. Then he gives the example and he says, you know, if you saw a woman who was immoral, a prostitute, run up to me and kiss me and say, oh, I love you, Brother Branham, how would you feel? She said, I wouldn't like that. She said, but if you saw that same prostitute run up to Jesus and kiss him and say he loved him, she loved him, what would you say? She said, that would be good. He says, you see, it's different. It's filial and it's agape. Mm-hmm. Then he says, and I said, I want to ask you something. Who do you love the best? If it had to be a showdown, me or the Lord Jesus? The prophet says, this is just family talking. And she said, the Lord Jesus. She said, yes, Bill, as much as I love you, but before I would give him up, I'll give you up. And I said, thank you, honey. I'm glad to hear you say that. Friends, that's an Ephesians 5 man. He knows why he's been given the anointing. He knows why he's been given the position. He's not trying to be Christ to his wife. He's trying to be as Christ to his wife. And he knows he's fulfilled his role as a husband when his wife comes to that position.
Amen.
When she would rather give you up than Jesus. Ah, friends. That's a sweet thing in the church ages.
Amen.
Listen to what the prophet says right at the last paragraph of the church age book. Not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me. Hey. Or join my church or start some fellowship and organization. I've never done that. I will not do that now.
Amen.
I have no interest in those things. But I do have an interest in the things of God and people. And if I can accomplish just one thing, I'll be satisfied. That one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and man.
Amen.
The prophet says, if I can just establish one thing with this ministry, I'll be satisfied. That's to establish a true spiritual relationship between God and his people. Because friends, Jesus is your wife's real husband.
Amen.
That's the truth. We are but husbands here on earth. In the world to come, there's no marrying and giving in marriage. We will have a relationship, yes, the prophet says, because we're related on earth. But it's different up there. But the real husband for your wife is Jesus.
Amen.
That's why the prophet says, God is above you, brother.
Amen.
No, so in all of our leadership, if we want someone to respect our leadership,
we need to be following His leadership. Amen. If we want our wife to be submissive to us, we've got to be submissive to Him. Amen. We've got to lead by example. If your sister, if your wife sees you all the time watching pornography at night on your computer, and then you expect your wife to bow down easily and submit herself to you, is it going to be easy? It's not. You've got to lead by example. Amen. We saw on Friday, leadership is more what you are rather than what you say. Amen. It's what you are. It's the image you reflect. It's the spirit that you're in. That's what leadership is. To lead your family isn't just to live a carnal life and then you sit down at the end of the day and you open the Bible and read it to them. That's not it. Amen. It's a spiritual image. And friends, the statue of a perfect man and the message of the hour and Elijah restoring the altar and God unveiling the mysteries. What is it for? To reestablish the image of Christ in His church. Amen. The image of Christ. That's what He came to do. Let's come to a close. So if we want people to consistently submit to us, listen what the prophet says and hear ye him. Man isn't measured by muscles. That's beast. Man is measured by character. Amen. I've seen men that weighed 200 pounds, all muscle, didn't have an ounce of man in them. Throw a baby out of a mother's arms and ravish her. That isn't a man, that's a beast. That's brute. But man is character. And there never was a man like Jesus Christ. Amen. But look what the world thinks about Jesus. But what about us? He's the greatest man that ever lived. There'll never be anyone like him because of his character. But the Bible said there was no beauty we should desire him. Probably a little bitty fellow, stooped in the shoulders or something. We hid our faces, as it were, from him. But there never was a character like that. That's what real man is. You don't measure a man's muscles, but you measure a man by the bags of the knees in his pants where he's been praying. That's the way you measure a man, by character. So the prophet's bringing character back to a man's prayer life. Because genuine character in a man is you won't lead people by your own wisdom. Amen. That's humility to say, my thoughts mean nothing here. Amen. For me to come here today with my own opinion means nothing. Amen. Why should I waste my time coming and telling you my opinion? But if I'm a real man, if I really want to be a true leader, I'm going to submit my own understanding, my own thoughts, Amen. To His thoughts. Amen. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek His face. I'm going to seek His wisdom. That's what it is. That's what character is. That's why Christ was the perfect man. Because he had do nothing without first seeking his Father. Amen. I do nothing until my Father reveals it to me first. Yeah? But to the world, they look and say, you're not a man. Hey, you can't even make your own decisions. That's a real man. Amen. To seek his decision. Amen. That's what the prophet's saying. And as a husband, a real husband, you submit your own way of leading people. Your own cultural way, your own way you were brought up, the way your father and mother did, okay, the good things take from it. But you're willing to submit all of that to divine wisdom so that the word will become a lamp unto your feet. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him. And this can only be done if you're in a spiritual condition. This can only be done if a husband shuts himself in the prayer closet when there's big decisions to be made in the family, when there's challenges challenging the home, and the man goes and seeks his God. Like Jesus goes apart all night and prays, and the next day comes and chooses his disciples. That was the image of Christ, the Word made flesh. And that's what God wants us to do as well. So character bows willingly to the word. The prophet says the gospel of Jesus Christ is not sissified. It's the greatest thing that a man ever did. Amen. For you to be a believer, the world, they don't understand what true manhood is, friends. For Jesus to overcome the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life, the three manners of sin, that was manhood. It's easy for a man to give into passion all the time. A woman makes eyes at him at work, he goes and falls with that woman. You know, he's out all the time in the nightclubs, one night stands. That's not man. That's beast. That's brute. That's just a hot-blooded mammal. That's what even nature's better than. Nature doesn't do that. That's a man who's worse than a beast, the prophet says. But the world will look at a man because he's got big muscles like that and he sleeps with so many girls a week and say, that's a real man. That's not a man. That's a pervert. That's what that is. That's not a man. A man, real manhood, is the ability to say no in the face of temptation. That when your flesh is saying yes, nobody will know what you're doing. And you have a principle and an image in you. And you will say, no. I want to please my husband. I want to be respectful to my family. I want to honor my wife. That's a man. That's a man. When you turn on the internet and there's a link now to some thing to see some naked woman, naked man. And maybe the passion is hot in your blood at that time. It takes a real man to say no. Yes. To turn that computer off. Amen. Remember we saw it at the youth camp. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Amen. Why should I look upon a maid? A real man, he makes a covenant with his eyes. Amen. To say, my eyes are for my wife. Amen. I don't put my eyes on another woman in that kind of a way. That's a real man. Amen. That's a man worthy of submission. Amen. That's a man worthy to follow. That's a man worthy of respect. Not these Hollywood images of these fallen stars. Elizabeth Taylor with an 8 husbands or 9 husbands, whatever. That's not worthy. How many of those men can hold together a marriage when things get tough? None of them. None of them. They've got a perverted image in there. But God, through the new birth, has put something different in you. That you're able to weather the storms of life. And I've got a picture I was going to show it. It's such a nice picture. It's a storm on the sea. And there's a lighthouse in the distance. And there's a man and he's sailing the ship. And Jesus is standing next to him with his hand on his shoulder. You want to be that kind of a man. Amen. That in the storms of life, when there's danger around, when the enemy's buffeting your family, you want to stand there arm in arm with Jesus, with Him guiding you through the decisions that you make, bringing things back to the haven of rest. That's a man. That's a man, friends. That's a real man. I'll finish with this. A man running from the presence of the Lord. Speaking about Jesus, He stood there. What would a man be poor, speaking of Jesus, didn't have a place to lay his head, but he even knew where fish had swallowed a coin. What man could take them big jugs of water and turn them into wine and not have a place to lay his head? That's a man. A man under authority. Jesus. He had the gift. He could turn water into wine. He didn't have to run out of money and have to get Peter to go and catch a fish with a coin to pay the temple tax. He didn't have to be a man who slept rough the way that he did, not having a home. He could turn water into the finest of wine. He knew where gold coins were in the fish's mouth. But he was a man under dominion. He was a man under authority. He was a man who didn't lead doing his own will. He was in submission to the word. He was in submission to his father's will. That's a man. The prophet says, he had to face up to the responsibilities that had been given into his hands. What man that could raise a man out of the grave after he'd been dead for 4 days and rotten, could he not have saved himself? He could have saved himself. Sure, he could. But if he did, he would not have saved us. He had to face up to the responsibilities. And because of his obedience to the word, Adam's disobedience, he took the shortcut, the way to Tarshish. But Jesus took the way to Nineveh, the harder way, the way of the Gentiles to get himself a bride. I'm glad he did tonight. That's a real man. He doesn't look for the shortcuts. He doesn't want to take the easy way. He wants to take the right way. Even when it's not the popular way, he's going to take the right way. It might be the way to Tarshish, when it's far easier to become a Jonah and go to Nineveh. And so forget about the rest of them. But a real man faces up to his responsibilities. And friends, us as Ephesians 5 men, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to get into the spirit of Ephesians 5. We have a responsibility to seek His face.
Amen, amen.
Until we can reflect amen. That image, amen. Though it be in an earthen vessel, though it be a distorted image. In the Lamb and the Dove, He says, the Bible says there's no beauty we should desire Him. He didn't look like a king. He was just a little bitty fellow, probably stooped, little small in stature. But there was never a man like Him. Man is measured by character, not by brute strength. So to the world, friends, they would have looked at Jesus and said, He's not worthy. Away with this man. We only have one king and His name is Caesar. But you and I, because we predestinated, He's our husband.
Amen.
He's our husband. We recognize He's the greatest of the greatest. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. And because of that image and because of the responsibility He took upon Himself and because of the way that He chose to walk despite all the opposition and the hardship that He was taken upon Himself for us on our behalf.
Amen.
We say there's nobody else as worthy as Him. And we willingly bow our knee. We willingly submit ourselves to Him because He's worthy of submission. He's the Word made flesh. Friends, let's seek God
Amen.
To be the Word made flesh. Like we said on Friday, where we've made our mistakes, let's be honest with our wives.
Amen.
Let's be honest with our husbands. There's got to be a starting point. You can't let things just keep going the way that they are.
Amen.
There's got to be some time that you call a halt in your family and say, something's wrong here.
Amen.
And you as the husband have the responsibility. Because the husband will answer for his wife.
Mm-hmm.
The wife will not answer for the husband. So when things are bad, you as a husband have the responsibility to call a halt and seek the face of God and humble yourself. And He said, and I'll heal your land. And He'll take you across the Jordan. And He'll start to give you a greater portion of your Ephesians inheritance. May God help us, saints. Let's stand. There's that song I said on Friday. It says, I want to be that man who leads his family while he holds the Father's hand. That's real leadership. The lamb and the dove. I'm sure you want to be like that. We try to get on to the Ephesians 5 woman today, but I think we as men, we maybe need a little bit of the... Every one of us, friends. Everyone. That's what I said on Friday. I said, you search these things out because you want your family to be better. You're looking at yourself and saying, Lord, how can we have a greater oneness? How can this go further and deeper into a deeper blessing? And you find God's words, principles never change.
Show me the way. Please, Lord, show me the way. Said I am tired, Lord, and I need your power. Show show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Oh, Lord, I need your power. Show me the way. Show me the way. Said I am down yellow. Your child, Lord, I'm your child. Oh, there's no mistake about it. I'm your child, Lord. dear, oh, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first be. Oh Lord, take me back, 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 dear Lord, to the place, to the place where I first receive you. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first be. Right now, take me back, 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 dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, where I first be. Where I, oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, you are worthy, Lord, this morning to be praised. You are Alpha, you are Alpha and Omega. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, you are worthy, Lord. We give. Oh, we give you all the glory. We worship you. Only you, Lord, are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, we give you glory. We give you all the glory. We worship you. Worthy, you are worthy, Lord, you are worthy to be praised. You, we give you glory, we give you all the glory. We worship you, Lord. Oh, you are worthy, Lord, to be praised.
Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even now we just ask of you that you would be, Father, Lord, on behalf of my sister, Lord.
Only believe.
Down
again,
Lord.
Oh, believe. All things are possible. Oh, things are possible.
Only
believe. Only
yeah.
believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Today. You know, friends, there's times you don't need to bring a wheelbarrow to church to say this is for this person and this is for that person.
No.
But the best thing
Hallelujah.
Is to look in the mirror of the Word yourself.
Amen.
Maybe you already are a good husband. But oh, there's a call unto perfection, your saints.
Amen.
There's a call to a oneness that is such a witness to this age because it's such a rare thing. Now you find the husband has his bank account and the wife has her bank account and the husband lives his life, the wife lives her life. That's not a godly marriage, friends.
Amen.
That's not the masterpiece that was there in the beginning. There's got to be a oneness, a oneness. And friends, all of us, some have gone further than others here. Down this road of marriage and deeper into oneness with one another. But I'm sure none of us here would say today that everything is exactly the way that I want it to be. But I'm sure you desire a greater image of the masterpiece family to be made flesh in your home. As a husband, the responsibility is on us.
Yes.
The first port of call when the Lord comes, He's going to come and speak to us.
Amen.
Like He did to Adam, and He said, Adam, where art thou?
Amen.
And then He went to Eve. So maybe we need to shut ourselves in for a while. Maybe we need to seek His face and seek His wisdom and come under His blood and get the anointing upon us. Once again, get into His Spirit and say, Lord, you may be in a situation that in your family you don't even know where to start. But can I tell you something? He knows where to start.
Amen.
And if you'll seek Him, He'll show you where to start. He doesn't normally show you the end of the journey from the beginning, but He will show you what you need to know now. If you'll seek His face. And as a wife, you might look at your family and say, but I don't see any hope here. All things are possible.
Amen.
All things are possible. Just for Him to move in. If you give Him access. Friends, when Adam's wife did what she did, it looked hopeless. But God came with an atonement. And God started to build and to repair. And God brought hope where there was no hope. Oh, friends, He can do the same today. But you as a wife, you have a responsibility to seek the face of God. You have a responsibility to seek the Lord, to call down the blessing of God upon your family as well. You have a responsibility to seek for God's hand to be upon your husband. Because you're going to need God's hand to be upon him to fix things the way that they are. Whatever the situation, wherever you are, let's seek His face. Let's pray for the spiritual family, our church. Let's pray for the whole armor of God as individuals. Let's seek His face. Father.
Father, of your hand amidst his life.
come to a time of worship since. If you want to continue praying, please do. Let's come and have a time of worship.
I have heard of Christians long ago who were brought before the tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die for the Son of God. They would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to, oh, to the Lamb, with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the hills have come, oh, and the hills have gone, but the cross of Jesus, oh, it still goes on. Now the time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross, and why by one, let us live our lives for the one who died, oh, to give us life till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us boldly stand, oh, and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, oh, my shame, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Oh, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to Let's pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance, oh, to the Lamb, with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to worship you. Oh, I worship you, Jesus.
within me, Lord. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. I give you my heart, give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. Oh, I give you love, Lord, I give you my heart, give you my soul. I live for you. For you, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. He knows my name, he knows my name, he knows my every thought, he sees it still. And tears me when I go. Oh, I have a Father, I have a Maker before my heart. Before even time began, my life was in His hand. Oh, He knows, He knows. My name. He knows my every thought. He sees each day that falls and hears me when I go. Oh, I have a heavenly Father. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. Aren't you glad He knows? He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, that tears me when I go. Oh, I have an anchor. I have an anchor. He's in my life. He placed me in this world. My faith He'll see. Oh, I'm glad He knows. He knows my name.
Sang that song for a long time. We're listening in the car coming down. In your presence, that's where I'm strong. I love it. It says, now I want to go to the place where the floods of evil cannot reach me.
Amen.
And you want to be lifted up in the spirit to a place, and it doesn't matter if this whole world
Amen.
Has hell being spewed out left, right, and center. But in Christ, on that rock, you want a refuge in the midst of the storm.
Amen.
You want to hide yourself there. Let's sing that song.
In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord, my God. In your presence,
in your presence,
that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace.
Oh,
in the cleft of the rock,
in the cleft of a rock,
in your presence, O Lord.
We only have the chorus.
In your presence.
In your presence.
That's where
I am strong.
In your presence.
In your presence, O Lord.
O Lord,
my God.
In your presence.
In your presence, Jesus.
That's where I belong.
Oh,
seeking your face, touching your grace.
Oh,
in the cleft of the rock.
In the cleft of a rock.
In your presence, O Lord.
Let's finish with one more. Let's sing that song, The Original Life. Our friends, we have the original seed. He's given us all the resources that we need. But if they stay in the books and they're not made flesh, it doesn't help us to overcome. We need to be feeding on the Word. We need to be in His presence. That's where we're strong. We need to be laying in the presence of the Son to bake the greenness out of us as husbands, the greenness out of us as wives, so that we become Ephesians 5, sons and daughters of God. What a reflection that will be. Let's appreciate the original life.
The original life, the original sea, the original word. It's what I believe.
What I believe.
The Son of Man.
Well, the Son of Man.
The seventh seal is unveiled. The original life.
The original life.
The original sea. God's attributes were manifested to His bride in this last day. We have got the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. The original life.
Hallelujah.
The original life.
The original seed.
The original word. It's what I believe.
What I believe.
The Son of Man is revealed. The seventh seal is unveiled.
The original life.
The original seed.
Oh,
we are called after flesh today. This is what the scriptures say. And our names are sealed within. Redeemed and perfect without sin.
Yes, we know.
The anointed.
Oh,
and inspired by our God.
The original seed,
the original word. It's what I believe.
What I believe, what I believe.
The Son of Man.
Oh, the Son of Man.
The seventh seed is unveiled.
The original life.
The original seed.
Oh,
our eyes open. Understanding, He has opened up at last, and victory is ours, who were chained down in the past.
Should you believe,
has sounded, and we have responded to our God.
The original
seed.
The original seed.
The original love. It's what I believe. The Son of Man, the seventh seal is unveiled. The original lie,
the original seal.
We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days are over. Oh, glory, hallelujah, to our God, who's the original Lamb. Oh, the original Lamb.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The original sin. Oh, the original Word is what I believe.
Son of man,
the seventh seal is unveiled, the original lie, the original seal.
Friends, we can't finish now. We need to sing some more.
Amen.
We stepped on some good toes today, but the oil and the wine is being poured in. We need to testify by faith. You may not yet be what you want to be as a husband. You may not be what you want to be as a wife. But you testify by faith.
Amen.
I'm one of them. I'm an Ephesians 5 man. That's what I've been called unto. I'm an Ephesians 5 woman. That's what I'm predestinated unto. And we keep walking into the vision. Keep walking. Let's sing that song. I'm one of them. One of them. Amen.
One of them.
Yeah. One of them. One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Where there are people everywhere,
there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell on the Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean.
It is burning now within my heart, for glory to His name.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them. Oh, I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them,
one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn it, no boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost,
baptized in Jesus' name.
Oh, and are telling now both far and wide, oh, glorious yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I'm so glad today I am one of them.
I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
One of them.
Hallelujah, I am one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Powerful service came.
Now what He did for them that day, He will do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm
one of them.
I'm so glad today I'm
one of them.
I am one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that cleanses your heart from sin.
that will start the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, yeah. Aren't you glad today you are one of them? You are one of them. I'm so glad that I can say, yeah. I am one of them, one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say, I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say, I'm so glad that I can say, I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. And when the saints go marching in, I'm going to be in that number. I'm sure you're going to be there as well when the saints go marching.
I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching.
Oh, hallelujah.
When the saints,
oh, when the saints go marching in,
when the saints
go marching in,
glad I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, I know I see my Savior. If my life is free from sin, heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching.
Oh, when the saints
go
marching, oh, marching in.
When the saints
go marching in.
Oh, Lord, I want
to be in that number
when the saints go marching in.
Stay in line.
Will I gather on the throne, and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go
marching. When the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in,
where I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I am waiting for my chariot to swing low and I'll step in. Heaven's door will ride to heaven when the saints go
marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
When the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching
in. Go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in,
when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints,
oh,
go marching in, go marching in.
Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Saints, to you and your family, let's kick that mamba down.
Amen.
Kick him down.
Yes.
You can only do it in the spirit. You can't do it as a carnal man. But get yourself in the spirit. Follow the leadership of the Lord. Get in his word.
Amen.
and then move in the Spirit. And let's kick that mamba down. These mambas of division, these mambas of unbelief, all these mambas that want to come, and let's kick him down. Kick him down. Keep the devil on the run.
Kick him down. Kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that mamba down. Kick him down. Kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that mamba down. Arise and shine. King Theophany has come. Let's hold to his unchanging hand. Praise the Lord, praise his name, and be garrison my prayer. Don't let the devil shake your confidence or in your heart obey. Don't you hate your brother, that's the root of bitterness. We've got to walk in that way of holiness. Of holiness. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that, whoa, kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that mamba down. Cover your face, cover your feet with reverence and humility. Let's go into action with God-given ability. Stand flat-footed in your trials, though they may be sometimes near. Always remember to call Jesus on the sea. Remember every day to have the token on display. It's an act of love, so follow that down. That's so right up. That's so right up. Kick him down. Kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that mamba down. Oh, kick him. Kick him down. Kick him down. Have the devil on the run. The Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick that mamba down. Unconquered by tradition, in this day we stand. Like Joshua and Caleb, we are going to take that land. But brother, it won't be easy, it's not a flowery bed of ease. Remember that old devil upon that terrible squeeze. Don't let him have you blue, wondering what you're gonna do. We on that seventh pick, so we'll just stay. We'll just stay. Kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A Son of God must not be trodden down. So we'll kick him down, kick him down, kick him down. Have the devil on the run. A Son of God must not be trodden down. So kick him down.
A declaration of war. Let's finish with I bless your name. Amen. I bless your name. Let's just give the Lord worship and praise for his goodness.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In praise's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, let's pray that night. And in their pain, they began to sing, the chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name, I bless, hallelujah. Oh, I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you in a bed.
in you. Oh, that in your life, you in the midst of time so high. Reach out.
Just want to bless your name upon this day. We just want to thank you, Lord. Oh Father, where would we be if Jesus didn't love us, Lord? Where would we be if you hadn't have passed our way? But Father, we're so glad that you passed our way. We're so glad, Lord, that we're heading into the regions of the lost. We're so glad, Lord, that that realm of insanity, we were fellowshipping in there. But Father, we were, Father, by your grace, your sons and your daughters, Lord. And Father, you sent your voice into Laodicea, Lord, and we heard your voice. And you said to us, turn around, and we turned around. And then you said, come up higher, and we came up higher. And Father, you've raised us above these things, Lord. And Father, all we desire is to live in heavenly places, Lord. And anything that would come in the way of that, Lord, Father, we'd want to lay it upon the altar. Anything that would hinder us, Father, from the blessedness of your blessing upon our families, Lord. Father, no matter what it is, we want to lay it aside. Anything that would hinder you in our lives, Lord, Father, we just want to lay everything before you this day and say, Lord, you have the preeminence, Lord. And anything that is not of thee, anything that doesn't fit your image, Father, send your word. Send the sharp instrument, Lord, to circumcise us of these things that we need to be circumcised of, Lord. And Father, you said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And we want to be zealous, therefore, and repent upon this day. Because you are our Father. And Lord, we're so glad for that, Lord. Father, may you bless each husband in this place, Lord. Father, there's an attack. There's a spiritual warfare, Lord. How the enemy is desiring, Father, to use circumstances and, Father, situations and all these other things, Lord, against your sons. But Father, I just pray that upon this day, let it be a jubilee trumpet, Lord. Father, let them lay down the instruments of slavery upon this day to tradition and those things, Lord. And Father, may they respond and seek your face. And you said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And Father, I just pray that you administer healing where healing is needed in relationships, Lord. Father, we just say to the devil that he's exposed upon this day. He's hidden away too long behind these things. Father, just shine your light into every aspect, Lord, we pray. Expose him for what he is, that he may be cast forth, that, Father, your perfect will may be established. Lord, bless each of your daughters as wives in this place, Lord, that they may seek to be as Sarah, that they may seek to be as Esther and Ruth. And Father, these examples you've given us in the Word, in our age, you gave us Sister Hattie and you gave us Sister Mida, Lord. And Father, Lord, may the seed that's in them cry out unto thee, Father, to be more in the image what you want them to be. And Father, may they seek thee as well. Even as they'd be ironing those clothes, may they speak to thee, Lord. Even as they'd be going to school to pick up the children. Father, let it be a time that, Lord, they set their souls to speak to you about the church and its condition in their house, Lord. That, Father, you may, Lord, inspire them. That your wisdom may be the inheritance. That you may lead them and guide them and quicken them. That those attributes that you put inside of them may minister to the needs that are there at this time. We pray for our children, Lord. Father, sometimes victims in these things, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would restore and that you would repair. We just pray, Lord, that you just do a wondrous work, Lord, and just do something, Lord. And our young people that would be thinking of marriage, Lord. Father, let these things, Lord, Father, be imprinted in their souls, Lord. Father, take these things and let this be part, Lord, of this spiritual experience, Lord. That, Father, as they'd go go forth into this most important phase of life, Lord, this great decision, that, Father, they may be governed by Thee. That You may lead them, Lord, with that vision of an Ephesians family, Lord, of a masterpiece family, Father. May You bless them. May You quicken them and lead them and guide them. Thank You for our musicians. Bless Amen. Them for, Lord, giving themselves into Your hands to be used this day. Thank You, Lord, for each minister and officer at the post of duty. Bless them, Lord. Father, You know every need and every situation. Bless our brother at home, Brother Dave. We pray for Sister Ruda at work. We pray, Lord, for Brother Ellie who's traveled. Bless him, Lord. And Father, the rest of Your sons and daughters, we commit them into Your hands. Bless us as we depart. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, wouldn't mind being seated for 2 minutes. It won't take much time. We have taken some time, but just wanted to speak a little bit about the church and the church location, relocation. There's some good developments, but we really do need to bring it to the church here as well. We have one very good place that has been offered to us, and we could move into it immediately. Brother Will's been there, Brother Vlad, and I think they both agree that it's a very good place, very suitable for us to worship, cry room, Sunday school, and everything like that. So that is immediately available just near the Omni Shopping Center in Santry, just down from there. Just as you go from the Omni Shopping Center, but from the McDonald's there, you go, you turn at the lights just before you get to the motorway. There's an industrial estate just on the left-hand side, just before you get to the roundabout to go onto the motorway there, just by the tunnel. It's there. It's a very good place. Now, the rent is what we had been expecting, about €1,300 a month. The brother will try to see if he can negotiate a little bit with the man, but he seems to be a layman, so he probably won't get much leeway. There's also that place in Drumcondra. We'll have an answer probably tomorrow. Brother Will's going to firm that up just to try to find out. The man that told us to wait a little bit because he offered us a place to share. Seemed a good place, but we said, look, we don't want to share. We'd rather have a full-time place. So he said, well, there were certain things he had to arrange down that line. So I think by tomorrow, Brother Will have an answer on that. So that is another alternative, which I think may be suitable as well. And there's one final place they phoned Brother Wilmore just yesterday. So his brothers are going to go and see it tomorrow. So there's three places. So there's definitely places for us to go. We do thank the Lord for that. And really, that one I think in Santry does really seem to be suitable. It's got a real nice parking. It's very secluded. It's a real nice environment for us. Everybody could park there. Children would be safe after service and stuff. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. So we really do need to ask the saints that have pledged money. We thank the saints that last month, saints were really faithful to that. But you really do need to ask the saints, please, to honor your pledges this week. Everybody who pledged contributions for the rent each month, because we do need to top up to get to that value of 1300. And then Brother Shelton had brought up the point last time, and we thought we'd be able to raise the security deposit, but we haven't managed. There's been a lot of things with us going up to the north last week and different things for youth and the bus and stuff. We haven't really got very much resources. So we just wanted to put it to the saints. We'd like to have a special offering on Wednesday service, Friday service, and next Sunday. That if the Lord lays something upon your heart, you know, that if you really do feel to be a Barnabas, a son of consolation at this time, really asking the saints from free will offering, please, we're going to need help for the security deposit. Now, we really don't like to ask saints for money. You know me, I never like to speak about money, but we don't have any alternative at this time. So really do need to ask the saints, please, pray about it. Whatever the Lord moves you to give. I said we'll have an offering just on Wednesday and on Friday and on Sunday for different saints coming at different times to try to raise that so that next weekend, it looks like almost definitely Martin spoke, our landlord spoke to Brother Wilmore this last week. It looks like next weekend is definitely the last weekend for us here. You know, so we'll have one more weekend here. So by the end of the week, with these other properties and so forth, we'll have a definite answer of which is the place that we'll go to from next weekend. And that would then give us an opportunity on Saturday. We could move all the stuff from the church which isn't related to having services. So we could do that on Saturday. We could have service here on Sunday. And then after service on Sunday, we could just ask saints to help us as well. We'll get a van, whatever we need to do, and take the remaining things, the chairs and so forth, as we could take it to that place. So we could still have service here next weekend and have quite an easy transition to move to the new place as well. Yeah, so just really asking that saints, if you haven't given your contribution, which you pledge, please, let's do it this week. We really do appreciate that. And then also for the security deposit, we'll all try our best to sacrifice as much as we can. I think Brother Virgus knows as a treasurer, Brother Woolman, they know exactly where our finances go, what we use them for. Like I always say, There's a lot of needs among the sons and daughters of God. Many times the saints don't know where finance goes. I was saying that Brother Virgus is a treasurer. Maybe once in a while, like the prophet said, it's good for him to come and give a treasurer's report. So that saints do really understand where the money goes to, because you don't realize, even in a church not so big like ours, there's a lot of needs. Sometimes there's disasters, sometimes there's emergencies. And at the moment, we've had to meet a lot of needs for other people, not for ourselves. So we're in a situation now that we really do need the saints to help. You know, so I think by this time, weekend after next, we could quite easily, by the grace of God, be in a very nice place. Now, we've always been so satisfied here. It's been a blessing to us to be here. We feel at home. I really do feel that one in Santry as well. It seems to be a real nice place. You know, everybody seems who's been there seems to think, I went and had a look with Brother Will outside and stuff. But I do believe that maybe the Lord has given us a real good place. You know, at a, yes, bro?
If I could just say something.
Yeah. 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 It's very good. Aha. Okay. It is a very good place. That's it. We just wanted to compare the one at Drumcondra on the rent and stuff to see it would help us. I mean, if the man gave it, it was a really good place for 800. I mean, it's obviously it's going to be compared, because 1300 is really pushing us at the very limit of what we had expected. We had, I think, pledges of about 1100 and something from the saints. So we can take from, you know, the offering and stuff. We can top that up to 1300. But it is, that is really the limit of us as a church that we can afford. It's a lot of money. Here we're paying 600 a month, which is really the grace of God. You know, so now we're more than doubling that. You know, the saints have been more than supportive in doing it. You know, we do appreciate that. But it's just going forward. We are going to need the continued support. That's how we say to the saints, when we move, if you make a pledge, we're going to hold saints to it for 12 months, because we have to take out a 12-month lease. You know, so we need saints to be faithful every month for 12 months, because if saints don't pay it, maybe after 4 or 5 months, we're going to have a big hole, which we don't have enough finance in this church to fill that hole. When we are paying 600 a month, if we fell short and we needed to put 200 on top to pay rent, we could manage it. But if you're going to have to find 700 euro at the end of the month or something to pay rent, we're not going to be able to manage that. You know, so I've explained that to the saints before. And I do know the saints are more than willing to help, because it's the house of the Lord. It's a place God has given us to worship with our families. You know, a place of refuge. Saints, in this kind of an age where we're living in now, I so do appreciate coming to the house of the Lord. I so do appreciate fellowshipping with the saints. I so do appreciate the message of the hour. God has granted us grace. So we'll do that Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, have a special offering. Whatever the saints can afford, please, we would appreciate it. And just the pledges, if you wouldn't mind this week, please, let's top those up so that we have the finances next weekend to make whatever decision, to move whichever way we want to go. Thanks, saints. May the Lord be with you. Let's sing one song. Let's stand, sing one more as we dismiss. In Jesus' name. You choose one for us, Patrick. Lord, Jesus, I want to do your will. You know,
Lord, I will.
That one there. Thy will be done. Yeah?
Jesus, I want to die to my will. Be born anew in your grace. For as I am, I cannot please you. And all I want to see is your face. Oh, thy will be done. Thy will, Lord, be done in my life. No, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my whole life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. I must decrease, he must increase. Power in me is there, I believe. For this you bled on Calvary, your pride's no longer a mystery. Thy will, Lord, thy will be done in my life. my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my whole life. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. Jesus, I want to die, you must live. Your word is grace to believe. I won't let you go till you bless me. Jacob, I wrestle till I'm free. Thy will, Lord, thy will be done. Be done, Lord, be done in my life. Not my will, Lord, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Be done in my whole life. When I do glory, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. When I do good, Lord, when I do good, evil's present. In God's presence, I'm a blessing. In His presence, in God's presence, I'm a blessing.